Hey, podcast listeners, thanks for joining me on today's episode. Today, we're talking about strategies to manage big emotions. It's a topic that I've talked about a lot on the podcast, but one that never gets old because it doesn't really matter how much personal growth we do, how much meditation, how badass our early morning practices are. This is a lifelong journey, is learning how to be present, how to down-regulate our automatic responses to stressors. The reason that it keeps changing is because we keep changing and the stressors keep changing. Our ability to be kind and patient with a 7-year-old is different than our ability to be kind and patient with a 17-year-old. Our ability to be present to a significant other who pushes our buttons is one thing when we've been married or partnered for 5 years. It's different when we've been married or partnered for 25 years. So the target keeps moving. So let's keep talking about it. We're talking about how to use our physiological bodies, our cognitive minds, and our emotion selves to work through big upset. And I hope that this episode is useful to you. Feel free to reach out and connect if you'd like to learn more or talk more about this really important core human experience and lifelong topic. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means. Sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs. And I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation.
Hey there, my name is Dr. Sherry Walling, and I'm a clinical psychologist that specializes in working with entrepreneurs and high performers. That term just is a kind of a catch-all phrase for people who are playing big in their lives that can look like being executives or artists or creatives, people who leave it all on the field every day. Anyway, all that to say, I work with really powerful and passionate people. And one of the things that I end up talking with people quite a lot about is how to control their emotions, especially controlling negative emotion. The sense that when powerful emotions come over someone, they can feel really beyond the access of control. And when we feel out of control in our emotional being, then that's where we say things, we do things, we behave in ways that we later find regretful because it's almost like we lost our grip on the steering wheel and we're no longer able to drive our personhood to be in self-management or self-regulation is the term we sometimes use. So when we get upset, whether it's upset by someone's behavior, by being insulted, by managing a totally dysregulated child, by managing the stress of a day, we all have a different set of things that triggers or activates our out of control feeling, our emotion self. And one of the first superpowers is really having the map of your, let's call them triggers. Triggers is just a word that talks about or implies that we are being taken or kind of body snatched from the current moment to some other moment, a moment maybe from childhood, a moment where we are less competent or rational. And those triggers really spike anger, fear, defensiveness, protection, some big emotion in us that might be greater than the situation in which we find ourselves. So this first step in really regulating emotion is first in recognizing that emotion is physiological. It exists in our bodies. It's cognitive. It exists in our minds, the thoughts that we're having. And then it is emotional. Our emotion self is really activated. And so anything that we do to try to downregulate or modify our emotion state, our state of being upset, has to involve those three elements of our experience. So the first, of course, is regulating the body. And the superpower here is feeling early on in your reaction that you are having a reaction, knowing the cues of your body, which for most of us are an elevated heart rate, shallow and fast respiration, the sense in which we are maybe getting hot. Something is happening in our bodies. We begin to sweat. We get tense. There's this physiological reaction that's happening to a situation around us. And the earlier we can notice that that is beginning, the more capable we are of intervening in that physiological reaction before it gets kind of out of our control. The bigger it gets, the faster our heart rate is, the harder it is to slow down. So we want to catch those sensations super early so that we can begin to try to down-regulate our bodies to calm them down. We do that with breath. That is probably the most powerful tool to manage the physiological components of big emotions. And that is slowing our breath, making it low and slow. Low means bringing it all the way down to our belly. When we think about agitated breath, it's very shallow. It's like we're hyperventilating or we're really like up here. So if we can move the breath down to like our belly button, to the bottom of our diaphragm and slow it down, then we are hacking or overriding that big upset feeling. This, of course, is activating our vagus nerve, the part of us that helps bring all of our systems back to homeostasis after a big reaction. And so when we can breathe in such a way that even if it's sort of forced, but is pretending that we're calm, we're kind of tricking our body into calm. It works really well. Other strategies for handling the physiological components of big upset are to cool ourselves down. Take some water, splash it on your face, splash it on your chest, drink some water. Listen to music that has a low and slow kind of tempo that is slowing down your heart rate. Other things that can be helpful are scent, using essential oils or lotion, or just going outside and taking a big sort of whiff of the trees or the grass. Things that help you to feel not in the situation of upset, but in a different physiological reality. So when you're feeling overwhelmed and big feelings coming through, the first fastest point of intervention is in your body. How to slow the process, how to bring yourself back to the present moment, how to bring yourself back to a place of relative calm and comfort within your cells, within your breath, within your heart rate. Of course, the body isn't the whole story. Our upset also happens in our minds. It's a cognitive process. And here the superpower is really knowing yourself and your kind of map of things that you're vulnerable to get upset about. We all have our unique kind of profile of what pisses us off. And it may be that we don't like it when we feel out of control. It may be that we're pretty sensitive to feeling insulted. It may be that we don't like unexpected derailments. It may be that we have a history of abuse or mistreatment. And so interactions that remind us of the dismissal of an abuser or the boundary violation of someone who hurt us very badly in the past, that those are the things we're sensitive to. We're attuned to the interpersonal cues that signify threat. And when we find ourselves in an interaction where a threat is activated, it's a helpful process if we know what's going on. If we don't know what's going on and we just see red and get insulted or upset with no understanding, then we're not allowing our mind and bodies like built-in systems to be of support to us. Instead, they become a liability to us. So this idea of knowing yourself and what your sensitivities are, what upsets you, what really like pushes your buttons, means doing some therapy. It means talking to ChatGPT about what your blind spots are. It can mean taking personality tests or inventories. It can even just mean like talking to your family. Our family gathered one New Year's Day. This is just my husband and two children and I, the four of us. And we decided to do this thing where we were like really giving each other thoughtful feedback about how we're showing up, how we showed up in the year and what we might want, how we might want to show up differently in the next year. And God bless them. But my kids both were like, Mom, you're not very open to feedback. Like, you don't like feedback. You don't like being told that you're not doing a good job. And, you know, hearing something like that from my kids was very humbling. And then I think back to my own life as a child and how important achievement was in my family. Like, my family was struggling a lot when I was a kid. And so for me to be a youngster who was getting straight A's and very successful and a really gifted athlete, it meant a lot to my family. It sort of rose all of us. It was very significant to my parents, and it was very significant to me that I could be very successful. And so when I'm criticized or when people tell me I could be doing better, the like 15-year-old in me kind of freaks out. Like, I get really upset about that. And it was just very interesting now that I'm 46 and my own children who are teenagers are like, wow, mom, you really just, you don't like to get negative feedback. You don't like this idea that you're not performing well. It was super spot on. And again, really useful information for me to know that that's just an area of sensitivity to me. It's an area where I'm likely to feel that emotion spike. And so it's important that I just know that about myself and work on it, but also have an awareness that that's a vulnerability. So when it starts to happen, I can catch it early and recognize, oh, I feel like I'm not achieving right now in this moment. And that feels dangerous to my inner child, you know, my 15-year-old self. Most of the things that we get upset about, as I mentioned, are protection against threat. Our minds and our bodies are wise. They're trying to keep us safe, and they're trying to keep us emotionally and relationally safe. So when we get upset about things, it's not because we're bad people or just wild, anger-crazed humans. It's because our inner workings are wanting to keep us as well and successful as possible. So do the work to understand what pushes your buttons, what dysregulates you. Most of us are much more vulnerable to upset when we're tired or we are hungry. For a while, my husband and I had most of our fights in Home Depot because we were young, married people trying to remodel houses, and we were financially stressed and stressed about our ability to know how to sheetrock and, you know, do things like that. And so we'd go to Home Depot and have these arguments because we were just so like stressed about everything that was happening. And it wasn't a good time for us to be interacting in that way. The other component of this, we talked about the body, we talked about the mind, but the other component of really downregulating your emotion life is having deep relationships with a wide variety of emotions. I think when we begin to do some inner work and understand ourselves and our vulnerabilities, where there is self-criticism or self-hatred, we can begin to bring in more compassion. Where there is frustration and judgment toward others, we can begin to bring in more empathy for other people's experience. Where there is a sensitivity to insult or fear or scarcity or frustration, we can begin to bring in more gratitude. So the more that we have control over our bodies and the more that we have choice over our cognitive or thought pathways, the more that we can steer our emotional reactions. And when we begin to get upset, we can catch it early and almost intentionally decide, okay, rather than anger, can I find a bit of empathy? Can I find curiosity? Can I find gratitude? And those things maybe sound, I don't know, like it sounds too easy, like just be grateful. But that's not what I'm saying. It's like this really intentional leaning into one element of your emotion self and inviting that calm, wise, adult, curious person rather than that inner adolescent who is easily offended and has a hot head and is like anger. How do we just make those adjustments and invite in the kind of emotional experiences that we want to be having in the moment? And this is especially true with our significant others. I mean, nobody pushes our buttons like the people that we love, the people that are closest to us. So when we feel anger, can we just flip a switch and just be curious? I'm curious why what you're saying is upsetting me. I'm curious why you're saying what you're saying. I'm curious what your experience is right now. I'm curious about my emotional experience. Why does this hurt so much to hear this from you? The more we can choose our emotion state, the more power we have over those moments when the old systems or the young systems of upset begin to come through. I don't know that there has been any path that has been more supportive to this process than plant medicine. And the reason that I think plant medicine is so helpful to increasing emotion regulation is because it is an intervention that works across these three domains. It works on the physiological symptoms of the body. Some medicines temporarily inhibit the functioning of the amygdala. So at like the neuron level, you are not feeling fear. You are not feeling so much upset. And that is incredibly powerful in just helping your brain have an experience of what it's like to be in a difficult conversation without fear, without that trauma reaction. And so even though you're not in medicine all the time and your amygdala comes back on board after the medicine, your brain has a memory of what it's like to be calm in the midst of an intense event or memory or conversation. Plant medicine also helps us to be very curious and inquisitive about our own selves, right? This idea of self-knowledge, self-understanding. Sometimes these medicines allow us to put together pieces of our past self with our current self. We begin to connect the dots in understanding why we are, how we are, and really create more than a lot of judgment, just a lot of like, I see how you got there. You know, in the story that I shared, I see how the pressure that you felt as a 15-year-old to like perform super well has carried forward 30 years. And now that you're 46, that's just still hard-coded in the programming there. It doesn't mean I have to act out of that all the time, but because I understand it, I can see it and have compassion for it and work with it in a non-reactive, non-automatic way. And plant medicine, of course, is widely known to create an experience of empathy to help us see our connections to other people, our connection to Mother Earth, our just place in the whole big cosmos of things. And when we are in that place of compassion, of empathy, of gratitude, we are much less likely to sweat the small stuff because we understand the bigness of the story that we're in and the real magic that it is that we're in this life at all. So there's a lot of gratitude that comes from plant medicine, spiritual exploration. So obviously, down-regulating and having some mastery over big emotions is an important part of child, adult, and adolescent the whole developmental course, child, adolescent, and adult. We want to work on that our whole lives. And it shifts and changes as we go through perimenopause or as we're adolescents or as our testosterone decreases, as our relationships change. I mean, you never nail it. It's always a moving target to be able to be present to big experiences without losing your shit. It's a lifelong journey. And we want to find tools that can help us do those things well. I've proposed plant medicine is one. There are many other tools that can be of support, meditation, prayer, therapy, a long distance running practice, anything that really down-regulates our bodies, helps us to see in flexible and creative ways, and helps us to have a deep relationship with emotions other than anxiety or fear or anger. So I hope this is helpful to you. This is a thing that I care very much about. So if you would like some support and assistance in figuring out how to have a better relationship with your big emotions, please reach out to me, reach out to my team, and we can let you know about a variety of resources, both freely available and working with us directly. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.